Experience worship. True worship. Experience the Word, bringing you wholeness. Experience the warmth of fellowship. Experience wholeness at Lighthouse. Join us every Sunday and Wednesday at the Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. Visit our website at www.lighthouseng.org or contact us at info@lighthouseng.org. The Lighthouse, lighting your pathway to destiny.
Majestically in God's presence, as those who knows that the King of Kings lives in them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I'm just going to, you know, build up on Pastor Bumi's message to us this morning. Wow. Hallelujah. That was really burning. Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 and 14. Galatians chapter 3. Verse 13 and 14 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles. In Christ Jesus, that we may receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. You know, Pastor has taught us over the years, you know, the Greek word of salvation, meaning what? Zozo. And what does it mean? It's a complete package of salvation. Hallelujah. Redemption from sin, redemption from poverty, redemption from sickness. Hallelujah. And we're going to be looking into the scriptures to see how Christ has redeemed us from poverty. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, a lot of people believe that poverty is a requirement to make heaven. A lot of people still hold that mindset, that for you to be able to enter into heaven, you need to be poor. Because they read in the scriptures where the Bible says that, oh, how hard it's going to be for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And they took it literally out of context. You know, there's a story in the scriptures, Luke chapter 14. We'll just look at it very quickly, you know, to establish the basis for this. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Let me see if we can split this too. Thank you. It said, there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. Next verse. He said, but there was a certain beggar, somebody say beggar, named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate. Next verse. I want you to take note of this first word in this next verse. And I want you to say it out. What does it say? Who is this person desiring? He said, there's a certain beggar, right? And to describe his situation, yes, he had sores and they laid him at the gate of the rich man. But what does the Bible tell us about this man? Desiring what? His desire, every day he wakes up, is, please take me to the gate of that rich man, because I want to eat from the crumbs that falls from his table. I know he's always holding feasts. I know there's always parting. One thing that interests me every day, just take me there. His desire consistently every day is to be fed at this man's table. He says, moreover, dogs came and licked the saw, you know, and all of that. Next verse. Quickly, please. Verse 22. 22:22. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. He didn't tell us that the beggar was buried. You know, maybe his body was just somewhere, animals headed up, God bless you, sir. You know, and all that. But the rich man was what? He was buried. He was buried. You remember Jesus was buried in the tomb? All the kings, they were what? They were buried. In fact, there was sepulchre for kings. And the Bible talks about where Jesus was buried, it was a sepulchre that was being prepared for a rich man called Joseph of Arimathea. He was buried in a beautiful sepulchre. His body did not die on the field and birds ate it up and all of that. No. That's the way he died. He was carried to heaven and all of that. Last verse, he said, and being in torments in Hades, talking about the rich man, he was buried and he opened his eyes in hell. He lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham from afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And it's important you understand that at this point, Lazarus was not in heaven. Because the assumption was that you need to be poor in order to be in heaven. Lazarus did not go to heaven. Lazarus was in the bosom of Abraham. Because even Abraham himself was not in heaven. So we need to understand as believers that fundamentally, everyone that lived by the principle of good conscience, everyone that did not think evil to his neighbor, everyone that finds a way to ensure that they live in balance of the law of the regulations that God gave to his people, they ended up in the bosom of Abraham. You did not need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior to be in the bosom of Abraham. You just needed to be good on earth. And because this guy was just a good guy, that was why he made it there. And the reason why the rich man did not make it there was that he does not care whatever. He does whatever as he pleases. Hallelujah. But you see, the fundamental thing is the fact that how did he end up being this person? Because you see, there was another person in the scriptures whom I want us to see, who also had a similar problem. He's called Naaman. Did you remember in the scriptures, in 2 Kings chapter 5, the Bible described this man called Naaman. 2 Kings chapter 5, just verse 1. This man also, he said, now Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great and honorable man in the eyes of his master, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but what? But what? A leper. So you can imagine a leper commanding troop. If you read through the scriptures in the Old Testament, you will see that there is a city designated for people who are sick. If you are a leper, you are leprous, or you don't mingle among people. But you see, in his days, he had taken time to build up his mind. He had developed the mindset that will not allow him to sit down and be desiring to eat of anybody's table. But rather, he built himself so strongly that he became very strategic in winning wars. So he became the master commanding the armies of Syria that God, through his hand, was delivering victory for them. He was sick, just the way Lazarus was sick, but he never allowed that sickness to get into his mind. You see, because when God created man from the beginning, the Bible says that God blessed him and he said unto him, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. In Genesis chapter 1 from verse 27 downwards, the capacity for us to be productive, to create wealth, is already embedded in the man created by God. So in every person, human being that comes into this earth, that seed of greatness that you can create something, reproduce it, multiply it to generate wealth, is powered in us. What happened when man fell was that the connection to God, the Bible says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The connection to God, to draw from the life of God, to enhance that capacity, to keep it running at the capacity of God, was what was lost. But that mental capacity was not withdrawn. Hallelujah. That's why you see people that are not born again today that harness their mental capacity to produce wealth. Because that capacity was not withdrawn. But you see, unfortunately, a lot of believers have settled for the fact that they believe that they need to be poor. They need to be humble in order to live a righteous life. That's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. So if unbelievers can use the power in their mind to create wealth, how much more believers that are anointed by God? How much more believers that are anointed by God? You see, even if there are systemic injustice, you know, there are people that become poor as a result of certain circumstances. You know, there is a family, there is the breadwinner, the woman was focused on taking care of the family, then all of a sudden the breadwinner died. And the woman hasn't been taking responsibility. So all of a sudden they are pushed into poverty. We had a description of that in the scriptures. Bible talks about the widow of Zarephath. But you see, there is provision for everyone. Even if as a result of systemic injustice or circumstances beyond control happen, the provision we have as believers is that we have access to the blessing. Someone say the blessing. In the Old Testament, even though they were not walking in the reality of the finished work of the cross, when they physically come into contact with the representative of the blessing, their condition changes. You see, all that needed to happen in that 1 Kings chapter 17, you can read the story later, 8 to 16, you can take note of that, was that this woman had an encounter with Elijah. He had the last, you know, portion of flour and small oil that he was going to make and die. But the blessing pronounced by the prophet, he says, "See, don't worry, go and make meal, bring it. For surely I say to you, that jar of oil will not cease." Somebody say the blessing. The blessing. The blessing. There was another woman, the widow of one of the sons of the prophet. You remember that woman, you know, that went to meet Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. And he ran to, he said, "Elisha, my husband, your servant, is dead. And the debtors have come to seize us. They've come to seize my sons. They want to take them as ransom." You know? And he said, "What do you have in your house?" The man of God pronounced the blessing again. "Go and borrow vessels." But you see, at that point when he says go borrow vessels, she needed to put her mind to work. Say, go and borrow vessels. Borrow not a few. The number of vessels that she borrowed was an indication of the strength of her mind. How much she could see. Because you see, when God was going to pronounce the blessing on Abraham, after he has blessed him in Genesis chapter 12 verse 2, he told him, he said, "Now walk through this land," after Lot has departed from him in Genesis 14. He says, "Lift up your eyes and look. As far as your eyes can see, I'm going to give to you." As far as your eyes can see. As far as your eyes can see. The question is, what can we even hold? How much can we hold in our mind? How much can we hold? No matter how much God has provided, there is that capacity that we must have. The reason why you see a lot of unbelievers seems to be thriving, and people will start comparing. You know, after all, you see, God can even bless an unbeliever. He's blessing an unbeliever. He's not blessing people. You know, it's because God don't want to tempt us with evil. And they read scriptures like, you know, "God, I don't want to be too rich so that we forget you. And please, I don't want to be too poor so that, you know, I will despise you. Just give me what is just enough for me." Can you help me find that scriptures in Proverbs? You know, one stupid man's thoughts that was captured in the scriptures, people take it as the word of God. You see, scriptures is full of promises of stories. Stories. Those stories is to help us understand the contextual realities at those times. And how people are thinking. It's not an history of how God is thinking. People read the book of Job. The Lord gives, the Lord take away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Is that a word from God? Those words are not to be taken as our realities. Those words are to give us context of how people are thinking in their days. Bible told us about why Job got into what he got into. He said, the things that I feared greatly had happened to me. Hallelujah. So it's important. What can our mind hold? What can our mind hold? What can our mind hold? You see, the scripture says, remove false food and lies from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Why should you be praying to God to only feed you with what's allotted to you? Don't you realize that the Bible says that the poor you will always have among you? You see, he didn't give anybody's name. He says the poor you will always have. So part of our responsibility is to take care of the people that are victim of systems injustice. All the systemic injustice. It's our responsibility to take care of the orphans. Hallelujah. So I can't be praying that God should give me just what is sufficient for me. When I have people around me that needs to be blessed. When I have school fees around me that are, you know, people that needs to be helped. Hallelujah. You see, some of these unbelievers have sat down and they've thought so much about possibilities of people that they can enable when they have money. And because of that, they've been able to build their mind to the point that they are attracting thoughts of how to create wealth. The Bible says that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. When you see yourself as someone who is blessed to be a blessing, that's what you become. God had to get Abraham thinking. He said, come out, look to the sky. Can you number the stars in the sky? What he was doing was working on his mind. The scripture has been given for us to work on our mind. But unfortunately, we don't study the scriptures. We don't study the scriptures. Hallelujah. You see, where people run into trouble in the Old Testament is when they use their mind to build wealth and they don't acknowledge God in it. That's where they run into trouble. You see, God cares less if unbelievers make a lot of money. See, don't ever think in your mind that God is going to sit down someday and he's going to turn down the capacity of unbelievers to make money. It's never going to happen because he is going to be reversing the blessing he has placed on humanity. And God does not contradict himself. But you see, the leverage that we have as believers is that we have the Spirit of God on our inside. Glory to God. That beyond what they can assess, we can assess. The Bible speaks in Proverbs. It said, the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich and adds no sorrow to it. You see, this was the blessing that Abraham carried. And the Bible is saying in Galatians 3, verse 13, that belongs to us because Christ was hung on the tree. Hallelujah. That blessing, it comes upon us. The Bible says there is a spirit in man, the inspiration of the Almighty gives him understanding. So where others are stranded, they are looking at an industry, they are looking at a sector, and they are not seeing possibility for growth. They are looking at a sector, going by all the various indices, there is no way anyone that puts an investment in that sector can grow. But you see, there is an inspiration from the Almighty that this and this is what to do. If you read about the history of someone like Henry Ford didn't have education. The guy that founded the Ford Motors. He didn't have education, but he was a believer. He was a believer. And he understood through the scriptures that whatever it is a man thinks in his heart, he can make it happen. Hallelujah. The Bible says that guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We are not taking care of our mind. Amen. Genesis 12 verse 2, you can take note of that. The Bible talks about blessing being released upon Abraham Genesis 13 verse 2 as well. We see the expressions of this blessing in Genesis chapter 26 verse 12 in the life of Isaac. His first seed of the covenant. He said he sowed in that land. That same year, there is a multiplication to his harvest. That's what the blessing produces. That irrespective of the economic situation, when you have a sure word from God on your endeavor in the marketplace, result is guaranteed. It doesn't mean that you won't face challenges or oppositions. They will come. The Bible says that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Yes. There will be afflictions. You see, the challenge is that believers confront challenges in their field and they chicken out. They chicken out. Where some other people will go back again. Thomas Edison, how many times did he try before he hit the light? He has seen the revelation in his mind. He has seen it, that we can produce light from this thing. Hallelujah. What we see determines what we get. Hallelujah. God has democratized access to the blessing through Jesus. Anyone that is born again, you have access to the blessing. And that's what is written in that Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. Once you have access to it, you have it. And that's why 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9, he says, "For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, helping us understand the kind of life that Jesus lived." He says, "Though he was rich." Is it that we don't see these scriptures, or we are blind to it, or in our version it has been removed, or we just choose not to believe? He said, "Though he was rich." People will say, Jesus, how was Jesus rich? When he was crucified, they were casting lots on who should get his raiment. You don't understand. Why will you be casting lots to get the raiment of a poor man? He was wearing an expensive raiment. That's why they had to. Roman soldiers were casting lots to get somebody's raiment. He was rich. The best of the vehicles in their time were donkeys and horses. He had them. He rode on them. He had house. If you read your scriptures, he sent people to the house. He was not squatting up and down. He was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. Where did he become poor? On the cross. He died on the cross like someone who had nothing. He died on the cross like someone who had nothing. 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 Nothing could be attributed to him on the cross. He died on the cross. That you may be, he said, he became poor. That you, through his poverty, can do what? Can become rich. And John verse 10, chapter 10, verse 10, he said, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy." He said, "But I have come that you may have life and have it in abundance." You see, the difference between an unbeliever and a believer is that we carry the blessing that produces abundance. Glory to God. We carry the blessing that produces abundance. But you see, even though in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, the Bible says that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you having sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. It's a promise. But you see, this promise we find expression depending on the mindset that we carry. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 2, it says the same word that was preached to them was preached to us. But the word did not produce result in their life because it did not mix with faith in their hearts. How much of God's word is mixing with faith in your heart? Amen. Because you see, in Mark chapter 13 verse 23, the Bible talks about the parable of the sower. It said the seed is the word of God. And based on understanding that people have in God's word, it produces different folds. Some 100, some 70, some 30. What is God's word going to produce in your life? What is God's word going to produce in your life? The Bible says this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, day and night. You will be careful to observe to do all that is written in it, for then you shall make your way prosperous and have good success. Hallelujah. As I wrap this up this morning, the Bible says that let them shout for joy. Let them shout for joy. Let them shout of joy and be glad. Hallelujah. And let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Oh, delight in the prosperity of his servants. You see, there is a scripture that we don't understand. We quote it, but we don't understand. Last scriptures as I leave this place. Amos chapter 9 verse 13 in the Message version. You see, that scripture was prophesying about us. It wasn't a reality of their day. It was prophesying about us. And that's why when you see that scriptures, it says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now. There's a prophet standing there declaring, he says, God's decree, things are going to happen so fast, your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look is what? Blessings. Everywhere you look is what? Blessings. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I want you to just lift your hands and just give him praise. Because he has redeemed us from poverty. We are not to be in penury. He has come to bring abundance to us. He has unleashed to us capacity to do much more. He has brought to us ability to assess more in him. Bible says God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ever ask or think, according to his power that is at work in us. Lord, we give you praise. We magnify your name. Thank you, because we walk in realities of those words. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org for more.